This morning, if you were here, you realize that I spoke on walking in the joy of the forgiveness that God has for us. In fact, that was something that when you think about the new year and stuff, that is something you want to leave behind in 2002. And tonight I want to speak about something that I'm praying for in my own life, and I didn't think it would hurt you guys either. Something that you want to take into 2003 and beyond. I heard a message a while back, and in this message, I remembered it for a long, long time. And there were four simple things. And those things were CB radio, and I've tweaked it a little bit, F-16, warning labels, and plastic forks. And you're probably wondering, what does that have to do with teaching and all that? Well, you'll find out, hopefully. So let's pray, and we'll find out what all those things are about. Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you for the time we had to worship you in the sense of praising you for who you are and how you are the desire of our hearts. And Father, we just want to confess that you are the treasure. You are the one who thrills our heart, and no one else can thrill us like you do. So I pray that that would be the song of our heart, the song of our life. And Father, so now I just ask that you would teach us from your Spirit about some things that you know that each of us might need to hear. So give us ears to hear and a heart to respond to your truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Nancy's dad gave us these big old clunker radios. In fact, when he got them, you had to have a license to have them. They had some kind of federal regulation on them. Now you can buy those little jobs, little Cobra deals that for $19.95, and they go as far as these do. But the interesting thing about these things is they'd pick up CB radio. And when I was in high school and college, CB radios were like cell phones today. Almost everybody had them, especially if you went to an ag school like I did. And all the farm guys, they would have them in their pickup trucks. In CB radios, I know that some of you probably don't understand those, but they had their own language. Like they'd say, breaker, breaker, 1-9, come in there, good buddy. Do you have your ears on? And what they meant by that is, are you listening? Are you hearing me? Are you picking me up? And so how that relates to us is, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. He's always saying, hey, good buddy, do you have your ears on? 1 Kings 3:9 says, so give your servant. This is the prayer of Solomon. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon asked for an understanding heart. And if you have one of those kind of Bibles that has little footnotes in the side, you'll see that it's not just understanding heart, it's hearing heart. He asked for a heart that could discern what God wanted to speak to him about. And that is so important for us. If we want to grow in the Christian life, we have to have hearts, our ears to hear what God wants to speak to us about. Proverbs is full of wisdom and insight into what God wants to speak to us about. If you look at Proverbs chapter 2, the whole chapter is just loaded with stuff. I'm going to read the first four verses. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. In those first four verses, you can see in there that there's just this exhortation to seek truth, to seek wisdom, to seek it as you would seek for a precious metal. And then the benefits. In verses 5 through 8, one of the greatest benefits is you'll know God better. You know that song that we sing about no one thrills my heart like Jesus? You know, every time I sing that, I'm challenged. Can I sing that truthfully? Sometimes I sing it as a rejoicing song, and sometimes I sing it as a prayer. God, make that so. And so as we seek to know God, as we seek truth, we'll discover Him and we'll grow more and more intimate with Him. In verses 9 through 11, it talks, gives some wisdom on how to discern things for living. It's great stuff. In verses 12 through 15, it gives us some wisdom as far as how to be protected against evil men. And then verses 16 through 22, it gives us some wisdom on how to be protected from evil women. It is all good wisdom, good stuff. We need to have our ears on to hear that kind of stuff. But I think if you're like me, one of the things is that distracts us from hearing is we fill our mind with junk. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly." You know, I know this doesn't fly very well in this part of the world, but I really like K-State football. And I can get on the internet and read stuff about the Wildcats. And I can find myself, you know, 30, 45 minutes later, still there. And you know, so what? You know, I can sit down and watch TV programs and it's like, yeah, it was sort of fun, but so what? How does it count for eternity? How does it help me to know God? Now, don't hear me say that it's wrong to watch movies, it's wrong to watch television, it's wrong to follow your favorite sports team. But do we get so caught up in it that we fill our minds with just trivia, with just junk, that really doesn't help us to know God any better? Now, another thing I think, too, is that sometimes we have selective hearing. Some of you have been around elderly people, and, you know, the comment made about them is they just have selective hearing. They hear what they want to hear. I was in a panel discussion about dating, and if, you know, sometimes the BSU gets sort of a bad rap on that. But I said, this is what I said, something very similar to this, is that I said that the guys in the BSU are socially challenged. They need to go take girls out on more dates. I said that, plain as clear. I mean, just clear as can be, I thought. After we got through, a girl comes up to me and says this, "Why are you so against dating?" And I'm going, did you have your ears on? Did you have your fingers in your ear? But, you know, it dawned on me, too, is that, you know, sometimes I'm sort of the same way. I have selective hearing, especially when it comes to God. You know, God can speak to me about this, this, and this, but He can't really speak to me about this. I'm not going to hear Him. And God wants to speak to us about our whole life. So, do we have our ears on? The second thing, this is not an F-16. You have to use your imagination. But I talked to my Air Force buddies, And they said the stick on an F-16, if you just move it a little bit like that, it really responds. And so if you're going somewhere where you don't want to go, then you just sort of touch it, and it responds. It responds to the correction you're making. And is that true about us? Do we respond to the correction that God wants to give us in our lives? Acts 7:51 is a sad commentary on the lives of a group of people. And I pray that it'll never be said about me, but I hope and pray that I'll live my life so this isn't said about me. But in Acts 7:51 it says this, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did." You know, it's this label that I would dread to hear, stiff-necked, stubborn. Those of you who have ever worked with farm animals, horses or cattle, and you're trying to guide them somewhere and they don't want to go, you know what they do? They get a stiff neck and they just, you know, turn their head like this, and they're stronger than me. And you can pull and pull and pull, but with that stiff neck, they're not going where you want to take them. And that is the picture that the Scriptures is giving, is that we resist the Holy Spirit because we're stiff-necked. We don't want to go where the Spirit of God wants to take us. He wants to teach us. He wants to correct us. Lead us in a place that is good, but we don't want to respond. Proverbs 15:32 says, "He who ignores correction despises himself, but he who heeds correction gains understanding." You know, do we take that to heart? Do we ignore correction? If we do, we despise ourselves. And I don't think there's anyone in here who wants to despise themselves. So, do we heed correction? Are we sensitive to the guiding of the Holy Spirit? The next one. This is Dave's insanity sauce. It is very, very, very hot sauce. One drop in a bowl of chili will really light up your life. Two drops will ruin it. And on it, it says this, "Shake well and good luck. Warning, use this product one drop at a time. Keep away from eyes, pets, and children. Not for people with heart or respiratory problems." It says, "Great cooking ingredient for sauces, soups, and stews. Also strips wax floors and removes driveway grease stains." This is potent stuff, people. My kids enjoy this, and they sort of have this sort of, I don't know, is it sadistic? But they enjoy seeing people try this stuff. My middle child, when she was in eighth grade, had a party. And have you ever seen eighth grade boys around eighth grade girls? You know what I mean? Well, Emily got out the hot sauce. "Oh, you guys got to try this stuff. We were serving hot dogs." And this one kid, or two boys, said, "Here, let me try it." And they put a stream of it on their hot dog. And I knew trouble was brewing. And I watched them, and they just took a big bite. And it didn't take long before they discovered that that stuff is brutal. I mean, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. They were gasping for air. They were downing milk and sucking on ice cubes. They were doing everything possible to get rid of the pain. But you know what they did? They did not read the label. It says one drop at a time. And so they suffered the consequences. You know, Proverbs is full of warning labels. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, do not lean on your own understanding. 1 Corinthians 10 gives us a whole lot of warnings. It says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. See, here's a list of warnings. Verse 7, do not be idolaters. Verse 8, nor let us act immorally. Verse 9, nor let us try the Lord. Verse 10, nor grumble. And then it says in verse 12, or verse 11, it says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. There's warnings right there that we are not to act like that. How do we respond to warning labels that God gives us? Proverbs 19:3 says, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. You know the principle that you reap what you sow? A lot of us don't like that one, but we do it anyway. And then when we suffer the consequences, see, in our own folly we ruin our life. But then we get mad at God. Why did you let that happen, God? It's because we didn't heed correction. We didn't read the warning labels. So, read warning labels. All right, the last one. Plastic forks. Carolyn Tigg, who is a member of this church and works in the Chinese ministry, was asked a question, or was asked how to deal with a certain situation, because there was a lady in the ministry who did not want to be in this certain Bible study because she thought that was below her dignity to be mentored by this person. And Carolyn's response, I thought, was classic. She said this, a hungry person will eat with a plastic fork. They won't demand silver. You know, how teachable are we? Are we teachable to God in every circumstance? Can God use people that we think might be below us to teach us things? Numbers chapter 22 is a great story. It's the story of Balaam the prophet. And he was heading out, and he had the right information, he just had the wrong attitude. And he was riding this donkey, and the angel of God came before the donkey, and only the donkey could see this angel. And the donkey would fall down and get up against the wall, and Balaam was just beating the tar out of that thing. Couldn't understand it. And then finally, the donkey spoke. I mean, that's strange. But the donkey spoke to Balaam, the prophet, and told him what was going on, and then Balaam's eyes was open to the truth. The moral of that story is this. If God can use a donkey to talk to a prophet, can't he use a man to talk to us? You know, one time I came home from the office, and it was one of those kind of days where it just seemed like no one was responding to anything I'd shared. And I really felt crummy. You know, like, You're just worthless. You don't have anything to tell anybody that matters. And I get home, and I was going to go down the mailbox because the mail hadn't been done yet, and I took our dog. And our dog's usually obedient. And he doesn't need a leash. He'll stay right there by you. It has two weaknesses. One is food.